All right, welcome in everyone to the deep dive. We're going to be talking today about, well, this really crucial intersection of disability law and, what actually happens in workplaces, right? How do those two things come together? And we've got this really fascinating case to look at today, Gambini v. Total Renal Care, which, I mean, wow, right. It's a Ninth Circuit decision, so it's got some weight behind it. And it comes out of Washington State, so that's a little different than, the federal stuff we sometimes see. And it really gives us this amazing way to understand like how courts are supposed to think about disability discrimination, especially when an employee might be fired for something they did that could be, well, connected to their disability.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really what makes Gambini so interesting, so important, I think. It makes us really confront this question, this like fundamental question. When somebody's behavior at work, stems from a disability, can you legally separate that behavior from the disability? Can you say, okay, yes, they have a disability, but this action was totally separate? And the story of Stephanie Gambini, who lived with bipolar disorder and was fired after having this, emotional outburst at work, it really brings that question into focus, right? Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, no kidding. So what we're gonna do today in this deep dive is really try to give you the tools to understand these legal principles, especially how those jury instructions, the things the judge tells the jury can like totally shape the whole outcome of these really tough cases. But before we get too deep into the legal weeds, let's step back for a second and look at what actually happened to Stephanie Gambini when she was working at DaVita, right? Like, what's the human side of this story?
Sure. So Stephanie Gambini, she started working for DaVita as a contracts clerk back in November of 2000. Now, what's important here is that in April of 2001, just a few months later, she had this pretty serious emotional breakdown at work and ended up being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And she did the right thing, right? She told her supervisors about the diagnosis. Then fast forward to April of 2002, her symptoms, sadly, they started to get worse, and it started to, affect her work, how she was doing.
So it's like building up to something here, right? This tension is increasing, and then boom, we have this performance plan meeting on July 11th, 2002. That seems to be the turning point, right? Can you walk us through exactly what happened at that meeting?
Absolutely. So picture this: it's July 11th, 2002, and Mrs. Gambini's supervisors, they call her into this meeting, and they're there to present her with a performance improvement plan. Now, during this meeting, tragically, Ms. Gambini has a very intense emotional reaction to this plan. It seems like she used some pretty strong language, profanity, and some reports even say she threw the plan, the actual document, across the desk. I mean, it's a really powerful example, right? It shows how these mental health conditions, they can have such a big impact on people sometimes in these very visible ways.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking, honestly, to hear about someone going through that. And then the consequences for her were so immediate, right?
Right. They were. The day after that outburst, the very next day, Ms. Gambini had to be hospitalized because of, how severe her bipolar symptoms were at that point.
Yeah.
Now, DaVita did approve her request for FMLA leave, to help her deal with this situation. But here's the thing: just 6 days after that outburst in the meeting, they fired her. They terminated her employment, and they said it was because of that outburst. That's what they said was the reason.
So they saw this incident, this outburst, as like the final straw. And she's trying to tell them like, "Hey, wait a minute. This isn't just me being insubordinate. This is my bipolar disorder manifesting itself."
Exactly. She was trying to communicate that. She was trying to explain that what happened in that meeting, that wasn't just, some random act of defiance. It was a direct consequence of her bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
But DaVita, they weren't having it, and they went ahead with the termination. And that's when this story, right, this really human personal story, transforms into this legal battle. And this is where the nuances of disability law become so important for us to understand.
Okay, so she feels like she's been wrongly dismissed, right? Fired because of something that was linked to her disability. So what does she do? What legal options does she have at this point?
Well, Gambini, she decided to fight back, right? She filed a lawsuit against DaVita, and she's alleging disability discrimination under Washington state law. And she's also claiming that they violated the Family Medical Leave Act, the FMLA. And this brings us to this huge legal question, right? This question that is at the center of so many disability discrimination cases. Like, what happens when an employee is fired for something they did, but there's a chance that what they did was a direct result of their disability? How does the law look at that? Like, is that action, is that conduct considered part of the disability, something that might be protected? Or can they just say, nope, fireable offense, doesn't matter what caused it? So this is really about how the law tries to balance the rights of people with disabilities with the need for workplaces to, you know, function properly.
Right, because you can see both sides, right? You have to protect employees, but workplaces can't just have chaos either. So how did the first court, the district court, how did they rule on this? Did they say the behavior was part of the disability or a separate issue?
So the district court, they actually sided with DeVita. They said, nope, the firing was justified. But Ms. Gambini, she wasn't giving up. She decided to appeal that decision, take it up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And this is where things get really interesting, legally speaking, because a key legal concept comes into play here, one you really need to understand.
Okay, so the Ninth Circuit gets involved. What was it that they said the district court got wrong? I know it has something to do with what they told the jury, right? The jury instructions.
Exactly. The Ninth Circuit, they looked at the whole case and they said, wait a minute, there's a big problem here with how this was presented to the jury down at the district court. Basically, they said the district court made a mistake by not giving the jury a very specific instruction that Ms. Gambini's lawyers had asked for. And this instruction, it was very clear. It said, flat out, conduct that results from a disability is considered part of that disability. Employers can't use it as a separate reason to fire someone. And the Ninth Circuit, they were like, whoa, not giving the jury that instruction. That was a huge error, and it probably really hurt Mrs. Gambini's case.
Okay, but why? Why was that one instruction so important to the Ninth Circuit? What's the legal thinking behind that that makes them say that was such a big deal?
Well, the legal basis for this whole idea, at least in Washington State, it comes from a case decided by the Washington State Supreme Court back in 2005. It's called Real v. Foodmaker, Inc. Now, this case is a big deal because it set what we call a precedent. Basically, it means that when the highest court in a state makes a ruling, all the lower courts in that state are supposed to follow that rule in similar cases. So what the Washington Supreme Court said in Real, that's the law of the land in Washington, and what they said was super important. They said that the symptoms of a disability are, legally speaking, not separate from the disability itself. So if someone does something at work and that action is a symptom of their disability, the employer can't just fire them for that action without considering the disability. It's like you can't separate the two. And that's exactly the principle that the Ninth Circuit felt should have been included in the jury instructions in Gambini's case.
It's like saying, you know, you can't have a fever without having the flu.
Right.
Go together.
Yeah.
So did the Ninth Circuit also look at federal law to support their reasoning, or were they just focused on Washington state law?
They did, actually. They pointed out that they'd already ruled on something very similar in a case that involved the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA. This was the Humphrey v. Memorial Hospital's Assen case from 2001. And in that case, they'd also said, hey, sometimes conduct and disability are totally connected. You can't treat them as separate things. So it's like there's this agreement, right? This broader legal understanding that in the right circumstances, the action and the disability are basically the same thing in the eyes of the law.
So that's two big court cases saying basically the same thing, that you have to consider the source of the behavior. We talked about the Real case a little bit ago. Could you maybe give us a concrete example of how that ruling actually worked in real life, just to make this a little more clear for everyone?
Yeah, definitely. So in Real, the employee, they had depression. And one of their symptoms, you know, one of the ways that their depression showed up was that they were a lot more irritable than usual. And unfortunately, this led to some problems, some negative interactions with their coworkers. And they ended up getting fired because of it. Now, the Washington State Supreme Court, they said, hold on, you can't just fire someone for being irritable if that irritability is a direct symptom of their depression, which is a protected disability. That's exactly the kind of thinking that the Ninth Circuit thought should have been part of the jury instructions for Mrs. Gambini.
Okay, I'm seeing how this legal concept is coming together now. So let's get into why this specific detail, you know, that actions caused by a disability are considered part of the disability, why that's so important in a case like Gambini's. What could that missing jury instruction have meant for how the jury looked at all the evidence and made their decision? Could it have changed the outcome?
Oh, absolutely. It could have made a huge difference. See, the jury, they heard all about Mrs. Gambini's outburst in the meeting. And on the surface, you know, without that crucial instruction, it might have seemed like a perfectly valid reason to fire her, right? Like she was disruptive, maybe even disrespectful.
Yeah.
But because they weren't told that this behavior might not matter legally if it was caused by her bipolar disorder, they might have just focused on the outburst itself. They didn't have the legal framework, you know, the right set of instructions to really think about whether that outburst was actually just a symptom of her disability.
So it's not enough for DeVita to just say, we fired her for the outburst. The why behind the outburst is what matters.
You got it. That's the key. It's what we call the causation threshold. Mrs. Gambini's legal team, they had to show, with evidence, that the outburst was a direct result of her bipolar disorder. Now, they didn't have to prove that DeVita literally said, we're firing you because of your bipolar disorder. What matters is whether the real reason they fired her was for behavior that was caused by her disability.
Oh, that's a really important distinction. So it's about what they actually did, not what they said. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about the disability discrimination claim. But remember, Ms. Gambini also made a claim under the FMLA. What happened with that part of her case? Was she successful there?
Well, that's where things get a little complicated. So her FMLA claim, that actually didn't go her way. DeVita, they successfully used what we call the same decision defense. It basically means they convinced the court that even if she hadn't taken FMLA leave or was about to take it, they still would have fired her just because of that outburst.
Wait, so that means the FMLA and the Washington State Disability Discrimination Claim, they have different standards for proving causation. Like, what caused the firing has to be shown in different ways.
Exactly. With the FMLA, it's more about whether the fact that she took leave or was going to take leave was a reason they fired her. And DeVita, they successfully argued that, no, it was all about the outburst. They said, we fired her for her behavior, and that's a legitimate reason. So you can see how even within the same case, different employment laws can have totally different ways of looking at things.
It's like so much hinges on the specifics of each law, right? Wow.
So to be clear, the discrimination claim goes back to trial because of the jury instruction issue, but DeVita won on the FMLA claim. Okay, stepping back a bit now, thinking bigger picture, what does all this mean for employers? What lessons can they learn from this case, especially when they're dealing with situations where an employee's conduct might be related to a disability?
There are some big takeaways for employers here, for sure. I think the most important one is that they need to be incredibly careful about how they document everything, right? Like, if they take disciplinary action or fire someone, they need to have super clear documentation that shows the reasons for that action. And those reasons can be discriminatory. So it's not enough to just have a reason. You have to be able to prove that reason is legitimate and not related to a disability.
Exactly. And the second big lesson, I think, is that whenever they're dealing with an employee whose behavior could be tied to a disability, they need to really engage in what's called the interactive process. And this is all about communication. It means talking to the employee, really trying to understand what's going on, looking at whether there are reasonable accommodations that could help the employee manage their disability and their behavior at work, and figuring out if the behavior really is a result of the disability. Mm-hmm. So, for example, maybe they could talk to the employee about different ways to express frustration or distress that wouldn't be so disruptive in the workplace. Mm. You know, if they just ignore that potential connection between the behavior and the disability, they could end up facing legal challenges, just like we saw in Gambini.
So it's like, be proactive, communicate, don't just assume.
Right. And I think one more thing employers need to remember is that even with all these legal protections, the employee still has to show that they can do the essential parts of their job, right? With or without accommodations. The law says you can't discriminate against someone because of a disability, including behavior caused by that disability, but it doesn't mean they get to keep their job no matter what. They still have to be able to do the work.
Right, so it's about finding that balance, right? Protecting people, but also ensuring the work gets done.
Okay, let's bring it all together now. If you were to walk away from this deep dive into Gambini v. Total Renal Care with just one big idea, what would it be? The big takeaway is this. In Washington State, if an employee does something and that action is a direct result of their disability legally, it's all part of the same package. It's not a separate thing. And this isn't just a small legal detail. It's a huge difference that employers and courts have to understand. The Gambini case shows us just how crucial it is to have the right jury instructions, instructions that make this principle crystal clear. And the Ninth Circuit's decision to overturn the lower court's ruling, well, that tells us that juries have to be told, flat out, that they can't just treat disability-related behavior as an independent reason to fire someone.
So that causal link, that connection between the disability and the behavior, that's the heart of the matter under Washington law. If the behavior comes from the disability, the whole situation has to be looked at differently, legally speaking. That's a super important point to remember. Okay, folks, one last thought for you to chew on. Think about this. Employers, They're in this tough spot. They have to have standards of conduct for everyone, but they also have to protect people with disabilities from discrimination. How does this causal link doctrine, this idea that disability and the behavior it causes can be intertwined, how does that help navigate this tricky situation? And even bigger, what does it mean for society as a whole if we recognize or don't recognize this link in our law? It's something to really think about. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive, and we'll see you next time.